Welcome to another episode of Business Partner Partners. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Chrissy. And today, Ryan and I are sharing a mic and looking into each other's eyes.
So romantic.
So romantic. And we have a very special guest today, Mark and Sarah Battery from Hollowed Earth Pottery. Welcome, guys.
Close enough. It's Battery.
Oh, come on.
But close enough.
I should have. Okay, we need to cut that.
No, I should just leave it.
It counts.
We're called
Do people
that
say
all
that
time.
All the time?
All the time.
I usually ask before. I was so confident. Mark and Sarah Battery from Hollowed Earth Pottery. We're going to leave that. You're not going to cut that.
Nope.
Okay. Thank y'all for joining us today.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry I botched your last name. So we're going to just get started. We'll jump right in. So the first thing we like to ask guests is how you met. So tell us a little bit about your love story.
Ooh, I'm good at this.
Ooh. He's good at this. I'm better than me.
Mutual friend. I had just recently broken up with a girl back in grad school.
Love these
I was
details.
Living, oh, yeah. Oh, this is important stuff, right? Yeah. I was living up in Wisconsin. A mutual friend said, hey, have you ever thought about dating Sarah? I said, nope, but I'm open.
And so you already knew her.
So we have to share a little bit of history here.
That's
so
true.
If you want,
you asked about the love part.
If you want the one word answer, we met on Facebook.
Oh, boom. Nice.
But mm-hmm. if we cool. dig, it was brand new Facebook. Mm-hmm. But if we want to dig a little bit deeper, we actually both went to high school and college together.
Okay.
But we were in very different circles and we never spoke. So we did not speak for the first time until Facebook 16 years ago, and that's kind of where it started. So it's funny that we have a million shared experiences with actually interlapping circles of friends, but we never interlapped it.
Wow. Did y'all not speak on purpose, or was it like it just didn't
just never
happen?
Happened.
Okay.
It wasn't organic, happened. Right? It's high school. I was sports, and he was art.
Mm.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. Classic love tale.
Right?
That's right.
But I mean, but also we're like, God protected us from meeting because we wouldn't have liked each other
She wouldn't
much
have liked
then.
Me at all.
We both had some work that needed to be done.
Yep.
So when we met when we did, we were actually receptive to each other.
Chrissy says the same about me.
I would not have liked Ryan in college. But do you know, y'all's story kind of reminds me of She's All That. You know how, but it's opposite. But like the girl is like nerdy. Did you have a makeover and that's when she noticed you?
No.
He had a beard when I met him, which he did not have in high school.
Okay.
So maybe
so,
it is kind of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh.
It was She's All That.
Grow a beard and, oh, you look so different.
That's right.
Yes. Also, if y'all haven't watched that recently, it still holds up.
So. Oh, it totally holds up.
Okay. So Facebook, who reached out? On Facebook.
So it was supposed to be a blind date.
Okay.
And time was going by.
Yeah.
And so I just reached out. I was like, so sorry. But like, I thought we were going to be set up on a blind date.
So and it hadn't happened.
It hadn't happened.
It was promised, but never communicated to me.
And so she's like, oh, so you're the person. I was like, oh, crap. So that's kind of how it started.
Wow, that's
and
good.
That
you had to take.
Talking.
Yeah, you had to take the initiative. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it was definitely.
I won her.
I mean, we met, and like a year and a half later, we were married.
Wow.
So.
We met what like 3 weeks later. We were dating.
Where were y'all?
Here. We were
in
here
Greenville.
In Greenville.
Okay.
Yeah. So we or met in the summer. We got engaged at Thanksgiving and got married the next summer.
Okay. What year was this?
2008 is when we first started dating. We got married in 2009.
Okay. I like to like picture the timeline in my head. Okay. That's great.
Yep.
Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Good old Facebook.
Not even like Match.com or anything like
Back
that.
Back in the good days.
Yeah.
I don't even know if people were using Match.com in 2008.
Maybe. It was like the first one.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So we know how y'all got together.
Yeah.
Let's hear about Hollowed Earth. So we know that... We know pottery. That's what y'all do.
Yes.
So let's start. Just give us the elevator pitch of like, if you meet someone on the street and they're like, what is Hollowed Earth? You would say.
Oh, man. Hollowed Earth Pottery. Our big mission is to make pottery accessible because it's very intimidating for the layperson.
The non-artistic person.
Yes.
It's very, the quote-unquote non-artistic. It's very intimidating.
I'm very non-artistic. I identify.
I mean, it's just, it's a type of thing where people ask, like, what do you do? And I say, I'm a potter. But it's always that, like, oh, wow. Like, it's so novel, you know? And so it seems very almost, I don't know if elite is the right word to other people. They feel like it's very out of reach. They feel like it's very unknowable. And our mission is to make pottery accessible. Very, anyone can do it.
We make it fun. Yes. So we've taken pottery and we've taken it away from the idea of like private studios and artisan residence and like I apprentice under this person that I have no idea what that name is. And instead it's, hey, does someone want to make a ceramic gnome for their backyard? And like, hey, let's do birdhouses or let's cross off throwing on a wheel off of your bucket list, because so many people see those videos and have seen a person demo it and it looks so magical and mesmerizing. It's and we're like, you can do that.
Yeah, we take that experience and show people that they could actually do it. Even just in a one-time session, they can come in, try it, and fall in love with it and be successful even their first time.
Cool. How many times do people bring up the movie Ghost to y'all?
Yeah, all the time.
So many times all the time. We've wanted to create these campaigns that if that is your only reference for pottery,
please,
like, come take a class on us, for goodness sakes. Like,
come take a class.
And then we've also thought about doing, like, big cardboard cutouts of Patrick Swayze and to just, like, lean into it.
Yeah.
But we also say if you want that experience, you have to pay a lot more for that.
Yeah, it costs extra.
You should do a ghost night where you just play the, like, soundtrack from Ghost.
That doesn't sound fun.
You're like, you do that in your business. Fine. Mountain Goat has to have a ghost night. I don't know how we'll, I don't know how we'll relate it, though.
I just don't look as good as Patrick Swayze. So,
fine. Sarah might disagree.
Yeah, that's an opinion.
I might.
I have the beard.
No. I might disagree. Okay, cool. So we know what Hollow Earth is now. So tell us about how it got started. So we know, Mark, that you were the artsy one in high school. That's all we know about your art background. So tell us about the birth of a Hollowed Earth.
Yeah, my sister signed me up for a pottery class.
Wow.
That's it. I used to be
because he was super... too lazy to make his own schedule.
Yeah, the class schedules, you know, going into college, my sister was like, I'll do your class schedule for you. And she signed me up for a pottery class.
No way.
And when she walked in, she's like, hey, signed you up for this class. I've always wanted to do it. I never got in. My response literally was, all right, cool.
Wait, this was college?
Yeah. Yeah. And so then freshman year, got into this pottery class, sat down at the wheel the first time and just fell in love. Absolutely fell in love with it. Spent all my free time, you know, in the ceramic studio, bought my own super cheap wheel. Me and my dad were out at some warehouse, something, and saw a kiln sitting over in a corner. And we asked the owners and they said, yeah, we don't use it. So bought a super cheap kiln and, was just working on my parents' garage at that point. And then in college, me and some friends, Matt Moreau, you know, Dapper Inc., was part of this. And we started a website and came up with the name Hollowed Earth Pottery and never did anything with it.
And that's where it paused for a very long pause.
Wow, okay.
And so at that time I was working 5 jobs at once. And just...
He was just putzering. He was putzering around.
It was nothing too serious. Like night, I had a night job at Home Depot, office cleaning, painting job, lawn job, stuff like that.
Everything but pottery, basically.
Everything but pottery.
And and that is a period. Yeah. And then he went to grad school for counseling.
In Wisconsin.
And then I met him that summer that he was in grad school. I feel like I can take this part of the story.
Yeah, you can.
So when we got married... while he was at grad school, he gave one of his teachers an old mug from college. Mm-hmm. And his teacher actually lived in Wisconsin, lived in Milwaukee, and had a guy at his church who was a potter and had a pottery studio and was like, you guys have to meet. So Mark met him, and there wasn't any like clear vision for a job once he was done. And so he was like, how do you feel about moving to Wisconsin? And I was like, sure. Why not?
She was game.
I was totally
game. Somehow,
she
was game.
I'd always been in the South, so it was an exciting time. So we both moved to Milwaukee right after we were married, 2 weeks after we were married, and worked for a pottery studio up there and kind of saw this really interesting model of how you could take an art field and make it a job. Mm-hmm. So this was a working studio. There were studio members. There was a gallery there with a store. We would travel and do shows. And Mark's job was to produce the line of pottery that was with that studio. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we would take to shows and kind of sell in all sorts of places. And then my background was in retail and sales. And so completely pro bono, because I had nothing better to do, being in a new state and at a part-time job. So I threw myself into creating systems that would help it run more efficiently, or like, hey, do we need to take everything we've ever made to every show and then package, you know, packing up takes 5 hours when we're done. So we really kind of threw ourselves into that business for a good 2 years or so. And then the whole goal was, once we had kids, for him to be able to work from home. And so that happened in 2013. And that's when Mark transitioned to home. And that's when Hollowed Earth was resurrected.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With no clear vision, with no, like, what are we even going to make type of thing.
Yeah.
But definitely that was when it started, like, for real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So y'all moved back to Greenville then at that point?
So not at that point. So we were still in Milwaukee for several years. We didn't move back until 2015. Okay. Well, I guess it was 2 years. We moved back 2015. We always knew we would come back. Mm-hmm. Our community was all here. So many people that we had known from school mm-hmm. had stayed in Greenville, had become entrepreneurs. Greenville was ready and open to small businesses. Like, we had seen our friends running. And, and I guess, I mean, it's an important part of our story. It's a sad part of our story, but also an important part of Hollowed Earth, if you want to share what happened.
Oh, I mean, so we moved back to Greenville here. Mm-hmm. Big, huge reason wasn't just for the community and the art and the business opportunity, all that kind of stuff. It was mainly for our son.
Okay.
Our little boy, his name is Kanan, and he was born with Down syndrome.
Okay.
And, you know, he had all the health stuff that kind of came along with that.
Sure.
When he turned one, he had open heart surgery. Oof. And he was nonverbal. He wasn't eating orally. He wasn't walking. And so just wanted to come back to Greenville and really just give him care he he needed.
And family support.
And we moved back, and a month after we moved back, he passed away.
Oh, man.
And so, like, that just completely changed us, changed our lives.
Yeah.
Motivation, our
changed
priorities.
Changed the trajectory of
everything.
Like, what was important.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been working out of the home that whole time. And so, like, going back to just a regular job, and it just all felt so empty. And
makes
like,
sense, yeah.
And so we had been building Hollowed Earth for years with the eventual thought of, like, wouldn't it be cool if we could both do this? But that seemed like this really far away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how would that even happen? Because you have to do really scary things, like walk away from
benefits
and 401ks and, like, all the things that make us feel safe. But after our son died, like, none of that stuff seemed
mattered.
To matter.
Yeah.
And so we were like, you know what? If there was ever a time to throw ourselves into something that we can build together and be together as a family. We had a one-year-old at the time. That was the time.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so that was such a trajectory of what has really, like, fast-tracked us to where we are today.
It's a huge shift.
Because nothing was the same.
Yeah.
Nothing was going to be the same. And so looking at just family time just felt so precious and so limited and so fragile. And also wanting to do something meaningful together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really helpful to throw ourselves into something. And so it really just put us on this amazing trajectory.
Yeah.
And the sweet thing is that, I mean, a lot of people know some of our story, but people don't know how much of, like, Kanan, which is our son's name, his DNA is woven into much of what
business.
We do.
Yeah.
Like,
cool.
The day of his birthday is certain things. And, I mean, just, there are just all these little pieces that maybe we would have gotten to where we are now. You know, if life had gone a little bit different, but maybe not.
Right.
And that's like a sweet thing and a special thing. Yeah. And what's cool is working in the arts, and not to jump ahead, but working in the arts and how much like art can be good for people and healthy for people. We are able to like minister to so many people with special needs and kids who are on the spectrum and like all these really beautiful things. And it's just really opened us up to this really great world that came out of really awful tragedy. But we lean into that and we feel very, very, very blessed amongst the tragedy, you know? Yeah.
Thank y'all for sharing that. I think that it's obviously like a point where a lot, you've said like, it's a point where a lot have changed for you, a lot of pain, but to see where your business has come now and the ways that it reprioritized your life is really beautiful. But, I'm very sorry to hear that, but we do appreciate you sharing that. And I think people listening, like they're, you know, people have different reasons for starting businesses or throwing themselves in. And I think that people will relate to that and feel that. So thanks for being open about that.
Well, I think one interesting thing there, is that I think what a lot of people don't realize is like, and we've talked to, you know, a lot of different couples around this, but like, it's not just a couple running a business. It is like a whole family thing.
Yes.
You know? And like, y'all obviously, like, there's a whole other layer to that.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it becomes a whole family affair of just like, this is not just, it's not just me, it's not just Chrissy, it's not just us. It's like the whole family, and same for y'all. It's really cool to hear.
And that y'all can see Kanan in the business is so special. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so jump into the next thing. What does the daily, weekly lives look like? So we know you both work full-time for Hollowed Earth. Mm-hmm. Talk about what it looks like a day in each of your lives.
I feel like we got a glimpse with just the genesis of explaining. Yeah. We can't take everything.
Yeah, right, right. Well, this is something that we could never have planned.
Yeah.
But we really do have such a wonderful mix, marriage of an art business, you know, and the fact that I did art. Here, we can pause.
Chrissy just spilled.
We don't need to pause. Computer. This is a reality podcast. We don't think. I spilled Waterloo on my computer. It's fine. Keep going. Sorry.
I'm just sitting here watching her like frantically try to wipe this up with her hand.
It's fine. Right. It's fine.
So yeah, and so the fact that I was art,
and
then she was business, really. Has worked very well for us. And then as she's been in it more, she's taking on, like you're talking about, taking on more of the business, taking on more of those responsibilities. But it's just really cool how we have the understanding. We have like her skills in business.
Yeah.
And that married to my art and my artistic bend. And it's just worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, but tell them about what you get to do every day.
Oh, I play all day long.
He has a great gig.
I have a very good gig. I love my life.
That's great.
I work in my home studio.
Yeah.
And I make pottery all day long.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And then I take care of school pickups.
Nice.
And that kind of stuff. And taking care of little girls and getting them snacks. And it's just, I love that this is what I get to do. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So everything you make, do y'all sell at Hollowed Earth, or do you? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If I'm gonna spend time making something, I want to sell it.
Okay.
I feel like that's such a challenge for artistic endeavors. Is like that personality trait is often, I don't want to say incompatible, but like I would say 9 out of 10 people that are like, we should start a pottery studio, are not suited to the business side.
Agreed.
Of a pottery studio.
Yeah, I absolutely. Think that's
the hard. Yes.
It is easier to make art than it is to sell art.
Yeah.
We have found that we have a very unique mix, which makes what we do very unique. Mm-hmm.
And it takes both of us.
Yeah.
It takes both of us for sure. So day to day, we have two locations, essentially. So we have what we call our home studio, which is where we started teaching, which is where we started our first classes. So we have our home studio that is now solely Hollowed Earth pottery production.
Okay.
Mark works out of there every day, and then I work out of the home studio 1 to 2 days a week.
Okay.
So I do all, he does all the making, all the hand-thrown pieces. I do all the glazing of our work. But all the other days, 8 out of 5 days a week. Right. I am at our Hampton Station location. Okay. So this is our Hampton Station is our public studio. Yep. It's a 5,000 square foot space where we teach classes, where we have studio members. So kind of like a gym membership. Mm-hmm. We have pottery memberships. And then that is where I have my own corner where I do my own making.
Okay.
And the reason why Mark and I can't make in the same space is not completely because of personality things.
No.
Not completely, but the biggest thing is I do a lot of hand building.
Okay.
And I take up a lot of space.
What is hand building? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so hand building is not on the magical wheel.
Oh, okay.
The wheel is so much cooler.
So hand build. Yes, sure. So hand building is you're working with slabs, you're pinching, you're coiling.
Okay.
So your main tools are your hands, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot more organic. You don't have the, like, the centrifugal force of the wheel. Mm. It's a totally different feel to the making process. And I take up a lot of room. And so the home studio is a 2-car garage that we converted into a studio.
Great.
And there's just not room for my stuff there. But I do transport it, and then it's all fired and glazed at our home studio.
Oh, cool.
We keep that very separate than what happens in our public space just because there's not the room to process the work that we're making.
Mm.
So my day-to-day is all scheduling and administrative and putting out fires and organizing and keeping a whole team of, like, really great creatives. We have such a great team of such unique artistic abilities that I love utilizing in really fun ways.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I do there is in an administrative overseeing sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, like, carve out afternoons and mornings where I'm making, and that's all I'm doing.
So wait, do you build things?
Yes.
And then take them home?
Yep.
In their, like, fragile
which
state?
Which is very scary for a lot of potters. We have done it for so long, we're like, that's fine. But I will say it involves blankets.
Okay.
You need weight.
Yeah.
To kind of keep things from rolling around. And, you know, we actually pass this coffee shop every day going to and from.
Oh, yeah.
And we really don't lose things somehow.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So we transport all the time, and we're not nearly as careful as people think we should be.
Wow.
And we're fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It can all be remade.
That's fascinating.
Okay, so this is going to lead up to something, but in high school, Mark was already artistic. You were sporty. This is my new getting to know you question, is what sports people played in high school. So what sport were you playing?
So I was basketball.
Okay.
I played point guard.
Okay.
And I also played volleyball. And I was really proud of how high I could jump because I wanted to spike.
Okay.
Ooh.
Right?
Of course.
So, you know, I would practice jumping down the hallway at my house and hitting the attic string.
That's great. So can you still jump pretty high?
Who knows? I'm too old to try.
We're going to test it after we're done recording.
Yeah,
but it's funny because those personalities are the personality parts of that in myself that are still exist come out in other ways.
Like, is in what ways? Like being competitive or?
Yeah, I'm not so much like competitive. I just want to do well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to do as well as I can do. I'm aware of my own limitations. I'm also very aware of, like, we all have our unique abilities. So if I look at someone and I assume something about them, I'm most likely wrong.
Yeah.
But I do have, like, this very high standard. Like, let's be honest. It's pride, right?
Yeah.
So I also have to guard against that. But I really have this drive to do things well.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think in sports that kind of came out.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a very clear memory I do have of her.
Yeah, because
I remember her last name. Her last name was on a giant star in the gym for the All-Star game, for the basketball All-Star game.
All-Star.
And I very much remember that about her, that she played basketball on the All-Star team.
That's interesting, though, thinking about, like, parts of your high school personality. I mean, you know, your personality change, like, you change, but also, like, the things that were driving you in sports can still drive you in your business today.
Well, and also team building.
Yeah.
Like, I loved things with teams. I loved, like, pulling people together, and then, like, you accomplish something and you feel really great about it.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of that now.
Okay, so my question leading up to that, though, was when did you start making things? Because we all went to Wisconsin, you were in grad school, and then Hollow Earth kind of was reborn. When were you like, I think I want to try to do this?
Well, so this is actually a fun part of the story, is that I was at grad school, and I literally walked away from grad school to go work at this pottery studio.
Really? Okay.
I didn't graduate, I didn't anything, I just left.
So you can't counsel us right now?
No, I can't, sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, sure, right.
It's all about the certificate. It didn't stick,
right?
Yeah.
I know. So I left school.
Really?
And packed up and went to live in this little downtown area.
But I mean, goodness, did it pay off for us, yeah, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
When school's and why so, you were, had moved there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, and so then I'm working there. I come back, we get married, we move up there, and then that's when I actually taught her how to throw on the wheel.
Yeah, but when we say taught,
you didn't need to be taught. You know what you're doing.
No.
She still is very good.
No, here's how calculated I am. Like, he taught me how to throw on the wheel, and like, we actually lived in a small studio apartment above the studio, and it was very sweet.
It was really cool.
And all of that.
That's a fun like, intro to marriage.
It was a cute
time.
Little yep. stage. Yep. There was a little coffee shop across the street. Mm. But like, I kind of learned the basics then. But once Hollowed Earth became a thing, I knew that I could not match his skill level anytime soon, if ever. So that made him being on the wheel with like the most effective use of his time.
Yeah.
So I thought, what can I take off of him so that he is essentially chained to that wheel all day, every day? And so
I love it.
Chained to the wheel.
I love it.
Yes. So, I make lots of lists. He loves my list, right? So it works great.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that's
why. He loves my list.
He loves my list. He feels so productive.
She says, for me.
I know, right? So that's when I started learning how to glaze. Because if I could finish his pieces, that felt like something, that skill level felt like something I could hit so much faster.
Get back on the wheel.
And then that could just keep, like, what are you doing? Get it. Why are you drinking water? Get back on the wheel. No. But, like, it best used his skill level. I could step in, and so that helped us produce at a higher point. But I did not make myself for a very long time because I didn't view myself as an artist for a really long time. There was a part of me that's like, it's still, I have to like swallow and be like, well, of course I'm an artist. Like, look at my job. But I feel like that's also why I love specifically like the hand building part of what we do in ceramics.
Because I don't do that. I don't do any hand building. Okay. So it is a whole different category.
I mean, he
does
do a little bit of it. Well, but I kind of dove into a different technique and a different the ability to make different things than he did, and so that actually rounded out our product line really well. And so essentially, I think I view myself more as a designer of things that I think our customer will enjoy and purchase. Mm-hmm. And so I'm able to round out our product line by making things that he wouldn't make.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
And then building out cohesive things that make our work still go together, even though you've got two very different ends of the making. So, not even really until the last 3 or 4 years have I really thrown myself into making, even though I've been in this world for like 15 years now.
She is good. Yeah. She is very good at what she does.
It's fine.
Let's pause for 1 second. And I want to know your favorite piece you've ever made, each of you individually. Is that too hard?
Oh. Yeah.
Mark's like, I'm so good, they're all good.
But also, we're production potters.
So I'm a production potter, though.
So we make lots of all the, so there's not like one thing.
Well, all the pieces that I used, all my artistic expression pieces that I used to make back in the day, they're all crap. I look at them now, I'm like, ugh, I hate it. I love making mugs.
Yeah.
I love making mugs.
Have you ever made a mug and you're like, I love this mug so much, I'm not putting it in the store. We're going to keep it.
No, absolutely not.
Wow.
No.
He's like, I love this so much. I
want to get money from
it. I'm going to make so many of these because this is a mug I want people to have in their house because I love it.
Then when and, like, people post
there are mugs like that.
On social media, they post their favorite mug. I love that.
That's awesome.
That makes me so happy. And there are sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you got that one.
Yeah.
And like, there's that that's joy cool. of that. So that's. Yeah, we have very few pieces of our own pottery in our house.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Which I guess some people would think that's weird.
Yeah.
It's just we want to sell our stuff.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
know
but
it's
good.
We have
lots of other people's pottery.
But we
house.
Collect other people's pottery. Interesting. Like, it'd be like a movie, you know, a filmmaker only watching his own films.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that a painter who only puts their own paintings up in their house. It yeah. just, that feels a little weird. Like, yeah. I don't want to be my own standard.
Yeah.
I want to constantly be getting better by having pieces, you know, of pottery that I would say are better than mine. So I'm constantly handling and using yeah. stuff that's better than mine to help push me to become better. So
that's cool.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of our own stuff. And I don't keep a lot of my own stuff because I love selling it. I do. And I love when people enjoy the stuff that I make. That just, that's why I do what I do.
That's cool.
So I think I'm with the hand built stuff. What are some typical things that you would even build? Like I...
Yeah, so a big part of what I make are, I make really big serving bowls.
Mm.
And the reason I hand build them is throwing large is really hard. Mm. And, I mean, Mark can do it, but he's busy making mugs, right?
Right.
So
busy making mugs.
So but this is something else that she was able to take off of my plate.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they're really cool. So I created these molds out of IKEA bowls. So we do these things called slump molds, and you can use anything, which is so wow. fun. And you make giant slabs, and you form them over different molds. And then as it sets up, you can pull it off the mold. And that's how I can make these really big, really...
That's cool.
And I can put different kinds of feet on them if I want, like, a thicker pedestal foot. So I love the world that that opens up for people. I mean, you go into Target, once you start working in clay, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I could make that. And
yeah.
I could make that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, that would make a great mold. And
yeah.
So it's really fun how, like, those techniques have opened up different kinds of things that we can make that wouldn't typically be, even be made on a wheel.
Yeah.
So I also enjoy like hand building. There's like engineering that goes into it. So like you're creating your parts ahead of time. Mm. Like the
this preparation,
how set up the clay yeah, is really important. Mm. And so I kind of equate that to like cooking, where you get all your ingredients all lined up and all ready to go, and then it's time to cook. You
yeah.
know? And so I do that with hand building. I get everything all set up, and then it's time to make. And that is a really fun process for me.
That's cool. So we've talked a lot about what y'all do and what the business looks like. I think now we're going to dive into a little bit more of couples working together. So what would you say is a lesson you've learned in working together in this business that you feel like could apply to a couple working in any industry together?
Oh, boy.
I mean,
early on...
Yeah, this is like revolutionary for us.
Yeah, early on, it was hard because...
We both had visions.
We And when those visions were different, it could create some problems.
And like, whose vision did we go with? And
whose vision was more important, you know? And so,
especially early on, in the beginning...
It was all me and it was my business.
It's all Mark's artistic ability. It's all his teaching. Mm-hmm. So like, the Hollowed Earth was really like the Mark show, and I was in support of that. But I also had visions.
But she was also had a lot of talent to contribute to the business.
Yeah.
And so early on, you know, there would be the disagreements and how do we work through that? And so I actually asked my good friend, Matt Moreau.
Yeah.
We go way back. And there was one day I asked him, I was like, so how do you deal with working with your wife? Like in the business,
we may or may not have had a large disagreement that day.
Yeah,
that
was,
might or
and
might
so
not.
So it was this like, oh my gosh, okay, I got to get
go
some
talk
counsel,
to Matt.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I asked him like, so how do you deal with working with your spouse? And this was revolutionary for me, and has kind of set us up the rest of our business. He said that you create turf, and if you can define whose turf it is, then they have the final say in that area. And so the home studio is my turf.
Okay.
Like that's where I work. That's where I get to make a lot of the decisions. But then the public studio, the classroom and retail area is Sarah's turf. And it's worked. It's helped so much. Not that we don't disagree on things at times.
Yeah.
But there's always this, I realize I'm stepping on her turf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, We very much can speak into
yes.
the other person's
yeah.
turf and offer
yeah.
suggestions, but to respect that person's turf is there. Like, Mark's turf is his turf, so he gets the final say.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still very involved in each other's
decision-making.
But at the end of the day, we have to respect each other's turf. And mm-hmm. that has helped so yes. much. Not that there aren't still some gray areas.
Yeah.
But for the most case, that yep. helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice.
We don't have turf.
Turf.
I feel like we do, though. It's not spoken turf. So maybe it'd be good to, like, write down our individual turfs. Turfs.
See, we are counseling you.
It's a great. Nice reference point, you know, even just to say yeah. it out loud.
Yes.
And then when you're talking later, you're like, but that goes under my turf. And they're like, oh, you're right. That is your turf.
I think I would just say everything's my turf.
That's what I was saying. It is, like, if I walk into the kitchen, the staff definitely look around like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that happened. When I walk into my classroom now, people are like, uh-oh, what's Mark going to be doing? What's he working on over there? Is he changing everything up? And
oh,
Sarah's
no.
like, stop
Mark's
touching
here.
Things.
And I'm like, but you're only here for this reason. Don't get distracted.
Yep.
I know this yep. pile over here drives you crazy. That is first for a reason.
Get back on
Just
the wheel.
Let it go.
Exactly.
That's
great.
So I think y'all touched on this a little bit, but wanted to know if you had any more, I guess, response on this, but... Is there anything that you've done in your life prior to Hollard Earth that you feel like was preparing you to run a business? I mean, I know you said like the sport, team sports and stuff like that, but that was preparing you to run a business, but you didn't know at the time it was a skill you were learning that you would apply in a future business. Sure. And you like look back and you're like, oh shoot, I was learning how to lead a team or like
oh,
anything
my,
like that.
My entire previous career has set me up for this, which I had no idea yeah. that it was. So I was in retail management, focusing on merchandising and sales, mm-hmm. and then building teams and running stores. And so...
For a company or for yeah. an individual store? Okay.
Yeah. And so I... Looking back, what made me successful in that position was how entrepreneurial I was thinking mm-hmm. for these other companies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have identified it as that, but the responsibility that I take on, driving sales, coming up with ideas, building a team, creating goals, those were all things I was doing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally everything that I did in my previous career, I'm doing now for us,
yeah.
which is pretty amazing. And I think back then, if I would have been told I was going to like start our business and it's going to do all these things, that would have been such a fearful thing for me. Mm-hmm. I saw starting our own business as there was a lot of fear there. There was a lot of fear of failure. Mm-hmm. Especially early on, there was a lot of anxiety that would happen when I would launch a class and then I'd be like, no one's going to sign up. No yeah. one's going to care.
Yeah.
And almost to the point that I couldn't be around when it was actually happening because I was so,
wow.
I was so afraid of failing.
Mm.
And so it's just interesting looking back and just seeing how like fragile mentally and emotionally I was then. And now being able to just say like, if it fails, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I still learned something from them.
Yeah.
But I'm just so thankful that whereas Mark had none of that anxiety. So Mark, I was like, hey, we're going to launch kids camps from our house this summer. And he was like, great. And then he would go out there and like perform amazing. And I'm like hiding in my room because it's just too much for me. So I'm glad that like that fear didn't stop me from trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was definitely something that over the first couple years, especially once we were both doing it full time, of realizing like I need to create some safeguards for myself and I need to take a step back from all the weight I'm putting on myself. And at the end of the day, like what is the worst that can happen? And if mm-hmm. that happens, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely helped just as our business has grown to try to just grow my own responses and my own pressures on myself.
Yeah.
Because that kind of pressure is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So would you tell someone starting a business that was like, I'm so scared to fail? What would your advice be?
Start small and start simple, but also don't look at like one result as success or failure.
Yeah.
Because like even like let's say it doesn't go how you want, does that mean failure? Or did you learn something along the way that helps you like make another turn down a different path and then maybe another turn?
Right.
And it isn't until you start making more than one step that you even see a path.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't try, you're never going to get anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And like, nobody wants that, right? Like, we don't want to be so fearful. We don't want to do anything, especially if we have something that we want to try. So I think it's important to just like acknowledge the fear, but also like pick apart where is that fear coming from? Yeah. I mean, is what you're doing super risky and maybe like you shouldn't? So sometimes I think fear can be healthy, but not to let it be crippling. And then just to like bring in community that can speak into like, am I being irrational?
Yeah.
Which probably a little bit.
So Mark, how did you, when, so let's, Sarah's setting up a camp or a class and she's come to you like, I'm so nervous, nobody's going to show up. What is your like response to when she's in a like anxious moment about something she's planning or doing?
I step up.
Yeah.
And I usually try to handle it. You know, dealing with her, we are pretty good at talking each other down and consoling each other in those kind of situations. But I just usually just say, babe, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. You know, you go sit down, go lay down, whatever. Yeah.
I got this. I need you to come out here. I'm going to run this.
Yeah.
And then that would give me space to be like, okay, I'm being ridiculous. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then like pushing past it. So I definitely would say like, I would agree his ability to be like, oh, it's fine. Like we have had to make very few like really hard phone calls in our business where like we've ruined someone's work. And I mean, that kind of stuff is so devastating.
Yeah.
Because there are variables that happen in ceramics and crazy things that can happen.
It's all chaos.
And like Mark's always been the one to be like, you know what? I'll take care of that really hard phone call. I'll talk to that person. Like, and we've always figured it out.
Yeah.
So he's been great about, even if it's technically my turf, if it is something that I just am really struggling, he is still my business partner.
Yeah.
And not just my business partner though. He's also my husband, you know, stepping in and helping me shoulder that and taking off of me what I feel like in that moment I can't handle.
Yeah. I think too, like with when I'm in those moments, because I'm more prone to be like what you just described, Sarah, of like, is this a good idea? Is it going to work? Are people going to come? Is this, you know, should we even open this business, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of times I feel like when I go to Ryan with that, he's helped me like role play, like what is the actual worst that could happen? Is that going to ruin us? No.
Yep.
And so we learn from it if that happens and it's not going to be devastating to us. So I think that's a good like activity to do in those situations.
Yeah.
I mean, that was us opening a Hampton station. We were like, if we make no money for a whole year, which was the first year of our lease, will we
be bankrupt?
Can we still live in our home?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we were like, yes. Then I was like, that's all I needed. Yeah. Like we set the bar so low that it made it not as scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how many staff do y'all have now?
We have about a staff of 15. It usually fluctuates between 15 and 18 ish. And it runs the gamut of teachers and then also like studio tech, running kilns, that kind of thing.
Okay. What are some things you wanted to do in the business? And I know that you said you have your turf now, but some things, some steps that you've wanted to take in your business that you've disagreed upon like strongly and how you've moved on from that.
There haven't been a lot of those, which I think speaks to how unified we were, even in what we were we're doing.
And we talk everything out.
Yeah.
We go for walks. That's our thing.
Yeah.
We'll just go for walks and we'll just talk everything out. And even the times we disagree, usually by the end of the walk, like we've worked through both of our perspectives and our sides to where we actually come and do.
Or we'll have like a third perspective at the end of the
walk. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I feel like this is a great time to talk about how I used to be called like the dream crusher.
She was the dream crusher.
That might have been my nickname at one point. So Mark was definitely, we've kind of shared in that more recently, he was our visionary. Mm-hmm. So he would have these like dreams this crazy far out thing. Oh no, I'm not even talking about one specific thing. And I'm more logistics. And I'm more like, okay, you're talking about this thing way out there, but I know I'm already thinking through the steps it would take to get there. And like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And my brain processes that faster than he is. that his does.
Always, always.
So by the time he's done sharing me his vision of amazingness, I'm already like, that won't work.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make then money.
Have another
it's
going to
be a huge waste
like,
of time.
Yeah.
Right. No, that won't work either.
And I'm still all hyped up, and I'm like,
valid
gosh.
Reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've definitely learned. I've definitely learned to like let him have his vision.
Yeah. Let me burn myself out just
and
a little
then,
bit,
like,
and
gently
then,
start yeah. to talk through. Not to be as quick, just because I do have like faster processing than he does. Not to be so quick to be like, nope.
Yeah.
But as far as like the complete future of Hollowed Earth, like we've kind of been on board with mm-hmm. who we are and what we're doing. And so everything is filtered through yeah. that model of like,
yeah.
this is who we are. So if we're going to have this idea, does that fit?
We're trying to make clay accessible
yeah.
to people to just be able to come in and work. So why would we add this whole other program or have this whole other
like, does that distract
thing?
From our mission?
It actually kind of takes away from that. And yeah. so it makes it very easy for us to edit out all that extra.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's kind of like with us. We had a waffle trailer for a couple years, and it was great, and it brought in good revenue when we would take it to like events, but it was a distraction from like yeah. making this brick and mortar place mm-hmm. better. And it was a hard decision to like cut it off, and it was also really rough on our family too, like just every Saturday morning having to pull the trailer, et cetera, et cetera. But that's cool that y'all... your vision has aligned in that way and you're on board together now. All right, we'll end with this. If you weren't doing Hollowed Earth pottery, what would you each be doing together or separately for a career?
Like dream job.
I don't think we would be working together. I can't imagine us doing anything else.
Yeah.
Wow.
Together.
yeah.
I don't know what you would do. I feel like I would have some corporate job. I enjoy marketing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I enjoy climbing the ladder.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
right. I know. So the life we have right now is actually like protecting me from myself
yeah.
in the best way.
Nice.
And you can roll your eyes at this, babe. But I've always been, I know, right? I've always been a creative. I love making. I love working with my hands. As a kid, I used to make my own toys.
Nice.
Wow. I loved it.
Yeah.
I've always loved it.
It is who he is.
I used to do bookbinding, making my own books and screen printing. And I've done all this stuff. Just, I love working with my hands.
Yeah.
But I also love working through stuff. Like, I would enjoy being a game maker. Not like video games.
Did you notice how he looked at me sideways when he said that?
I know, like,
he was waiting for you to roll your eyes.
She didn't roll her eyes.
She didn't. She didn't roll them.
Like board games, card games. I love my free time just coming up with games and doing games I can play with my girls. And
yeah.
I just, that's fun.
That. And voice acting. You would like voice acting.
I'm not that I'm good at it, but I love it.
I think I need to know more. Why do you know he would be good at voice acting?
Because
that's all I do every day.
Wow. It sounds like another episode.
Hey, all my stories at night to my girls, all the characters have voices, and
wow.
It's a thing.
They're getting top level book reading.
That's right.
Great. All right, well, I think that wraps us up today.
Awesome.
We could go into like so many tangents. I want to ask y'all about staffing and hiring and all of that stuff too, but maybe that'll be part two.
Let's do it.
But thanks again for coming out today, y'all.
Oh,
this was fun.
Here.
Good to get to know y'all.
And this is really good coffee. Thank you.
Oh,
good to hear.
We got a little plug on the podcast. Unsolicited. All right.
The mug is so-so.
The mug.
Well, you need better mugs.
Bring our own
here.
Next
I know,
time.
Right?
Bring your own mugs. All right. Bye, y'all. See
Thank
you next
y'all.
Time.
Thanks.